The first reading is taken from Mark 6, verses 6 to 13. Then Jesus went around teaching from the village to village. Calling the 12 to him, he began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over impure spirits. These were his instructions. Take nothing for your journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra shirt. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, leave that place and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them.
The second reading is taken from Mark chapter 10, verses 17 to 28. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Do not defraud. Honour your father and mother." "Teacher," he declared, "all these I have kept since I was a boy." Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack," he said. "Go, sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus said again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God." Peter said to him, "We have left everything to follow you."
This is the final talk on a series on Mark's Gospel, which started nearly 2 months ago. So I thought a few words, just sort of recapping one or two things. John Mark was the cousin of Barnabas, and he accompanied Paul on his first missionary journey. He worked alongside Peter quite heavily. He wrote the very first Gospel, although it appears second in the New Testament. It's the shortest Gospel. It's sometimes known as Peter's Gospel, and it was written for unbelievers. The Gospel doesn't start with Jesus' birth like some of the other ones do. It starts with John baptizing in the River Jordan. And you may recall that when Wendy opened this series, she mentioned the word immediately. It's always things were happening immediately. And Mark is really concerned about what Jesus actually did. Now, the sermons we've had have followed the themes we've been following in this book, which quite a few other home groups have been using. We've had Miracle Maker, Supreme Teacher, Mighty Overcomer, Perfect Sacrifice, Effective Trainer, Compassionate Healer, and now we're to the final one, Unveterate Traveller. Now, you could actually say that Jesus was an inveterate traveller, because he didn't go on great missionary journeys like Paul did, but he was always on the move. He was going from village to village. You hear him crossing the lakes in a boat, and he was as though he had itchy feet. He didn't know what to sit still, but he also had, he and his disciples had no fixed base. So it wasn't as though they were sort of tied down in any way. They hadn't got to mend the roof or cut the grass or sort the leaking pipe out. And he wasn't, they weren't tied by family responsibilities or maintaining and running a career. And in the second reading, you'll hear that one of the responses from Peter is, Lord, we have left everything to follow you. Nor were they tied, nor was Jesus tied, by the need for possessions or provisions. Now, the message of message to his disciples before sending them out was, take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bread, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra tunic. Fortunately, the pervading culture at the time was that you gave hospitality to travellers, which is quite fortunate, really. But there wasn't exactly much cushion if things went wrong. There was no sort of extra provision. So they were having to rely on God's provision. One thing, though, that was helped was that Jesus had a very clear idea of his purpose and his mission and what he had to do. The first bit was to go and spread the good news about the kingdom of God and the need for repentance to the people of Israel. They were God's people. That's what his message was. So it wasn't like Paul, who went out to the known world to speak to the Gentiles. That was his prime function. The second purpose he had in mind was to train his disciples and his followers. Now, I don't know about you, but if you've ever trained anybody, it takes a little while. You know, they have curates have a, that's why you have curates of a curacy, but it takes time for them to get into it. And but he didn't want to reveal who he was to his disciples too early. He wanted them to find out by letting God show it to them. And you'll also remember that in quite a few of his miracles, the beneficiaries are told, don't tell anybody. You may go and tell the priest, but keep it quiet. Of course, they don't. But at the Transfiguration, when there's Peter, James, and John up there, he also tells them to keep quiet about it. But in chapter 8 in Mark's Gospel, when they were going or traveling around Philippi and Caesarea, Jesus suddenly asked his disciples, who do the people say I am? And they said, well, some say you're Elijah, some say John the Baptist, and some say you're a prophet. And Jesus says to them, who do you say I am? And Peter then says, you are the Christ. And at that point, the purpose has been achieved. And Jesus sets his second part of his mission is to travel towards Jerusalem. But he still needs to prepare them and train them. So we read that he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things. You'll recall that Peter tried to persuade Jesus that it wasn't a good idea. But Jesus wasn't going to be persuaded by the love and kindness of his friends, because he knew what his purpose was. His purpose was to get to Jerusalem. And so that was it. No, wasn't going to be held back by other people's views. But the question is, really, this morning is, what about us? Do we have a clear purpose and direction for our life? You may recall that on several occasions, Paul used the metaphor of running a race. When he was saying goodbye to the elders in Ephesus, he said, I consider my life worth nothing to me, if only I may race and complete the task the Lord has given to me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. And in 1 Corinthians, he wrote, run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who completes in the games goes into strict training. To Timothy, he said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now, I don't know about you, but those words always make me think of Phyllis. And others may think of Billy Graham as well. But they fought, they ran the race. They completed it. Now, if you're going to run a race, there are several things you need to do. If you're a really good runner, you've got to listen to your coach. Because if you don't listen to your coach, you're in trouble. You have to go into training, and you have to discipline yourself as well. Now, unless you are running in the 10 para challenge, you won't run with a rucksack on your back filled with heavy bits or with big, fat, heavy army boots. After all, Roger Bannister, who died recently, he had nice spiky shoes, nice and light, so he could run perfectly. But our feet are very important, because our feet take us to where we're supposed to be going. And it's good if your feet are here this morning, but your feet are the direction that you're taking. But there's lots of things we put in our life. Like sometimes there can be brambles or tying us down. I was speaking this morning in Oldham, and in McCallum mentioned the phrase in Hebrews about being caught in brambles. But I mean, for some people, like the rich ruler, it can be money. Now, money is a very useful thing, but it can also tie you down. This is money from Nepal, by the way, so quite a few coins there for Yvonne to have. But we have all sorts of other things, how we use things. You know, it depends on, we've got to think what we read, what we fill our mind with. That's important. You know, it's how we use our time. You know, do we allow ourselves to have time to read the Bible, to spend time in prayer? It's how we use that. And it can be who we're talking to. You know, are we spending time with people who really inspire our Christian faith? Are we using our time and our voice to encourage and inspire and encourage others? But there are also lots of heavy bricks we have in our life, and they come in different shapes and sizes. Now, that's a plinth header, by the way, and that's a bullnose. But they can be for things like, you know, what we do, our behaviour, what we get involved with. It can be the act of our pride. Pride is a difficult thing. You know, at times I know it affects what I do and how I do things, and you'd have to just forget about that. It can be a difficult thing. There's another brick as well, it's a flooring brick. But it can be things like just a question of forgiveness. If you can't forgive somebody, we're weighed down. And they're all things which can hold us back, because we need to strip those off. We need to be bare. So we also need to know where we're going. And C.S. Lewis wrote about, it's no point having an armada of ships which are performing perfectly if they end up at Calcutta rather than New York. So we need to know where we're going. And Lent is a season where we're not only reflecting about the cross and everything else, but also it's a good time to reflect as to the purpose God has made set out for us. You know, it's how and where we can use our hands, our skills, and our money. Where there are things that we need to just get rid of so it can be more effective and blessing good news to others. Yes, last night when I was finalising my thoughts for this morning, I noticed we had that song, Guardian. There's some beautiful words in there. You know, all my hopes and fears are in your hands. Where you go, I go, show me the way. Every step I take, be now my guide. Where you say, trust and obey, I will walk by faith and not by sight. So I encourage you this morning to just think, are there things which are holding you back in your Christian journey? Are there things that you're not listening to where God wants you to be and wants you to do? And if there are those things, look at them and think, how can you get rid of some of those to be really fit and an ample runner to bring blessings to God and the people around you? Thank you. Amen.
Just to think through those questions, what's the Lord saying to us today? as Andrew said, are there perhaps things that we need to let go of, to drop? Things that perhaps, like the rich young ruler, we need to just give away or sell? And are there purposes in our life that we need to take up, directions to follow? Lord, speak to your people today. In Jesus' name, amen.